Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm pleased to have as my guest Patty Conklin, who is the author of God Within, The Day God's Train Stopped. Patty is an author, well-known, world-renowned clairvoyant and healer. And we had interviewed Dr. Kelly Turner just a couple of weeks ago on radical remission, and Patty is mentioned in Dr. Turner's book. And she's received many awards and acknowledgments and is an expert authority on vibrational energy. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Welcome, Patty. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on, Susan.
So, I guess we'll start a little bit with your background. You had a health challenge early in life, and that was your introduction to the effect that vibrational energy can have in clearing certain discordant energies. Would you like to tell the listening audience about that?
Yeah, in the mid-1980s, I developed both forms of lupus, and it was pretty critical for 3 years. And I had what I considered to be a visitation, showing me how to move color through my body. And as soon as I was done with the visitation and I started moving colors, I realized it didn't work. And I thought, why didn't it work? And as I sat and thought about it, I realized it was self-worth. The emotion behind it was self-worth, behind my lupus, because I was working in PhD positions with a high school education. And so when I would say to my body, what color do I need to remove my lack of self-worth, increase my self-worth by 80%, and remove the lupus, that a symptom stopped. And it's been, you know, 20-some years later, and I've never had another symptom. So that was my first real introduction to vibration.
So this brings up a real important point that in many cases, that the basis for disease exists because of a lower vibratory level within an organ or system. And identifying the cause of that may be critical, because if you don't identify the cause, then all the treatments in the world, whatever belief system you choose, the cause of the disease still exists and works against the treatment.
I totally believe that. And I think it's why so many people reoccur when they have serious illnesses.
Right.
You know, the rate of reoccurring within 5 years, while they put a Band-Aid and they did their treatment, they didn't get to the causal issue. They didn't get to that core. And I think it's critical in any type of healing to get to that core issue.
You probably know, Patty, because you were actually associated with Millennium Healthcare for a while, that we treat a lot of problems with breast implants here. So, one, you know, a lot of breast implant patients are misdiagnosed with lupus, and they don't have lupus. Lupus is truly almost always associated with self-worth issues. And I only had one patient ever that had true lupus, and she actually had lupus before she got breast implants. But of course, once she got breast implants, her lupus got much worse because of the chemical toxicity on top of it affecting her immune system. So, you know, I want to differentiate today. What Patty and I are going to be talking about today has a lot to do with things that are within the realm of the emotional affecting health and the body's vibrational things. But there's also other things, like if you put implants in your body or take certain chemicals in your body, then what can happen is that those chemicals can have a direct physical relationship, say a problem with your immune system. So we have to consider both. We have to consider things that need detox, but then the majority, by far the majority of illness out there is it has an emotional component. And if you don't look at that as well, you can't, what I'm trying to say is you can't just look at one or the other. You have to actually look at both. And I know that people that are, you know, directed to you are going to have a lot more emotional issues, because that's what you can really help them with. A lot of people directed to me have primary physical issues, because surgery, you know, and then treatment of the immune system and the co-infections is what I do. But actually, the two worlds are simultaneous, and you really do have to think about all of them. What have you learned, Patty? What have you learned, Patty, about what organs store what emotions?
What I've really learned is that it's not typically within a set organ. And that has kind of shocked me over the last 16, 18 years, mm-hmm. is that there's a few generalities I would put out there. That early childhood memories tend to go in, for women, the breast, uterus, and ovaries, mm-hmm. uterus and ovaries. And for men, it goes into the testicles and prostate. Mm-hmm. Fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, Epstein-Barr are almost always boundary-setting issues. Allergies are learned behavior. They're the easiest thing to take care of, even when it's severe environmental or severe food allergy. Usually it only takes mm-hmm. a couple of hours to reverse that. Spinal cord injuries, MS, typically a severe rage or hatred stored within the spinal column, and they may have only had one incident of that in their lifetime, and it's enough, mm-hmm. and it typically blocks things at about T7. And you're correct. I mean, with lupus, every lupus client that I've worked with, it's always been self-worth. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think that there's some generalities that are out there. But what I've found is that it really does, it tends to go to the weakest part of the body at the given moment that you first experience that emotion. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're 2 years old and, you know, you're having a temper tantrum, and maybe that would normally go into the breast or ovaries. But let's say you have a severe, you have pneumonia. It's going to go into your lungs mm-hmm. and not into other areas. So I think it's just every person in the, you know, tens of thousands that I've worked with now, it's just a little bit different.
So I just wanted to mention what we know about lupus. Lupus, when we want to diagnose it, we do lab tests that show anti-DNA antibodies. And that's so interesting that the lab tests show that anti-DNA, with DNA being the core of our physical being, we're actually attacking mm-hmm. ourselves. Do you see that
yes.
kind of, I guess, situation in other illnesses where it's, you know, you can kind of figure out that would be what would happen?
Yeah, there's a lot of people who the self-worth issues or the attacking yourself, the perfectionist, you'll see a lot of autoimmune deficiency diseases with that. People who are perfectionists or who are really judgmental with themselves, it's going to affect their immune system across the board. And I think that people who hold things in and, you know, again, do the self-judging and don't move beyond it are going to create something that's going to have, that's going to affect the immune system directly, not just some other part of the body.
So if the immune system is like, can be viewed like an organ, and you weaken the immune mm-hmm. system, then do you think it's possible to pick up intracellular infections within the immune system? Because we're finding
yeah.
Intracellular infections, Mycoplasma, spirochetes, in many of the autoimmune and those kinds of diseases, and sometimes affecting parts of the immune system. So it's kind of like in your book you talk about when you have a sore throat, there might be something you said in anger, or there might be something you're holding back and not saying that lowered the energy of the throat, and therefore the virus hit the throat. So it would seem to me that perhaps the weakening of the system comes first, and maybe the pathogen comes second.
I think so. I think the pathogen comes second. I think that if your cellular structure, if your immune system, if you're truly really moving towards unconditionalism and you're not into judgment or you're not into, just the conditionalism statements, I think you could walk through a radiation field and not be affected. And so when you're storing different emotions, the pathogen becomes secondary, in terms of the illness. It's the straw that broke the camel's back. And you'll start getting pathogens in other areas of the body, within the cellular structure, depending upon what's weakest, in terms of what you stored, how you've stored your emotional data.
So in your book, you talk about a case where, you saw a chart of energy or a spike of energy in a woman's kidney that didn't belong to her. Would you like to talk about that that case?
Yeah, and I think it really comes into play with what you're talking about with implants and people having issues, possible issues after implants. Mm-hmm. When you have two separate frequencies running within the body, the body will get sick. It can't handle a frequency that isn't its frequency. And so this woman had a very passionate relationship with her boyfriend, and they broke up. And a shard of his soul, of his energy, actually stored in her kidney. And she started getting critically ill. And she was interesting because I moved color work through her, helped her move that shard out, and mm-hmm. gave it to an angel standing next to her to take it back to the boyfriend. And the angel just kind of stood there and didn't move. And mm-hmm. A couple of days later, the woman called and was hysterical and said, "Oh, no, I've got to have it back. I've got to have it back. I'm too happy. I'm not supposed to be this happy. In this lifetime, I'm supposed to, be sad."
And oh, no.
The angel was still standing there with the shard. And I'm like, "Well, yeah. Put it back in." And it was a lot of work to put it back in. And she got sick again. And I just said, you work on it yourself. I've given you the tools and you do this. But obviously, psychologically, you haven't gotten beyond it yet. But we really see it a lot in transplants, in organ transplants.
Yeah.
My philosophy, the reason they have to go on anti-rejection medication is because there's two subtle energy fields working within a body. And so if a person were to say to the body, what color do I need to remove the donor subtle energy field and replace it with my own, I think after a couple of months of that, they'd be moving off anti-rejection medication, because it's really just two frequencies trying to abide within the same body, and it's not working.
Yeah, so it is interesting, though, that the energy from someone else often goes to our kidneys. I did a lot of work with cancer, including kidney cancer, and every case of that is some major problem with a relationship. It's very interesting.
Yes.
And I noticed my mother, anytime she didn't have very many fights, but anytime she had a significant fight with my father, she'd get a kidney infection. Because infection, inflammation is conflict not resolved, and then probably cancer might be issues of love not resolved. I mean, it goes even further.
Yeah.
It's very, very interesting.
It can go even further, but you're right. The kidney's a filter, and if you're in conflict within relationships, it does store a lot in the kidneys.
So let's talk about anger and then fear, because those are two of the strongest human emotions that we've all felt.
Yeah.
Anger, the Chinese medical system says anger goes to our liver. Is that where you see it a lot, or where else do you see it in color work?
I see it everywhere. It could be in somebody's knee. It could be in their hip. It could be in their intestines. I can see it in the spine. It really goes all over the place. No set thing. Fear, though, in my mind, there's love and fear. And fear is that forget every available resource. And that resource is the strength you have internally to heal yourself. But fear is the primary conditional emotion. And anger and jealousy and so forth are all subsets of it. So you'll really see anger. I've never found a specific place that I could say 75% of the time it goes here or goes there. I know there's different philosophies out there that say it goes to a different organ. But I haven't seen that. I've just seen it all over the body, depending upon, again, the weakest part of the body at that given time that they stored.
What about grief? What about grief? Do you see that going in a particular direction or causing particular problems?
Typically lymphatic system. And it will go into the lymphatic system, and you'll literally almost see tears. The other thing about grief and the lymphatic system is if it gets overpowering, it will create a stagnation within the lymphatic system, and you'll see their whole life become stagnant. And so when someone calls and says, you know, I'm just not going anywhere, nothing's working, and so forth, you can pretty much look at the lymphatic systems and see grief within there.
Yeah, well, that's what, that would be what it would feel like, too. That's the feeling of it, that everything just stops.
Right.
That's right. And it probably stops so that you can process something. You know, it probably keeps other things from coming in until you get this one thing done. And
exactly.
So how does ColorWorks, tell the listening audience a little bit about ColorWorks and how, say, it would process grief, because that's a big problem for people. It really is. If a pet dies, if a spouse dies, if a parent dies, especially if a child dies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If the child dies or your best friend moves away. I mean, it affects us in so many different ways. But my philosophy is there's two active frequencies in the universe, and that's color or tone. And so let's say you're experiencing grief and you're feeling bloated or, you know, life is stagnating. You can just say to your body, what color do I need to remove grief from my lymphatic system? And breathe in through your nose and bring that color in through the bottom of the feet, straight up and out your mouth. And what's interesting through the years in watching this is the more that people are sick, the darker the colors will be when they first come in. There'll be blacks and browns and reds. And those will come in because the frequency of those are very dense, very slow, but very harsh. And as it comes up through your body, it literally starts shaking the grief free from the cells of the lymphatic system. And then you may, you know, finish up with white or purple or whatever, which makes you feel better. But what you're really attempting to do is neutralize out the emotions of the grief from the lymphatic system. So I encourage people not to get caught up in what the emotional, you know, what you feel the emotion is in equation to the to the color, because in this process, it's just the frequency that you're looking for in order to get your body back on track.
It's a lot quicker than psychotherapy, which takes years.
It is. It is. What's nice about it is you don't need to know the core origin. You know, you don't have to go back to the event.
Yeah.
All you need to know is that it's there.
Well, let's stop now and give your let's stop now and give some of your contact information so that people can take a look at your website. Why don't you go ahead and give them that, and we'll continue after that.
Wonderful. It's pattyconklin.com, and Patty is PattyConklin.com. And you can go to the website and look at different services and different workshops that are coming up across the country and here in Atlanta. And then the phone number for the office is 404-474-4294. And folks can call the office and talk to staff and get an idea of what fits for them. The new book, God Within, The Day God's Train Stopped, I think you probably know this. I wrote it about 16 years ago, Susan, and it's been sitting on the shelf ever since, and I finally felt like it was time to let it release. And that's available on Amazon and books, Barnes & Noble's on Kindle and Nook and paperback. in your local bookstore. So I think it's very simple, but I think it gets the point across of how we think and how we live.
Yeah, and it also is a really good book in terms of explaining everything from, you know, the more mundane issues all the way up to the miracles. I mean, that's what mm-hmm. I like is the range that it covers. The you seem to have a good way of explaining even you know, what John of God does, you know, what's normal, you know, like what people fail to appreciate. You just sort of explain it in half a page. I love it. It's really nice.
Well, I have to admit that my son Daniel was the content editor, and when I had originally wrote the book and he was getting ready, he's like, "Mom, you know, you're writing this book like you're on stage, and you know, right. the gestures and voice inflections doesn't come through." And mm-hmm. so he had to take, you know, this 10 pages and put it down into one page, into a very simplistic form without me being on stage. And so it was very cute, but I thought he did a fabulous job in doing content editing. Yeah. Thankfully.
It's a very easy read. It really is. I guess what it is, you take fairly, I wouldn't call them difficult concepts because I don't consider them difficult, but maybe because they're not really third dimensional concepts, and relate them to third dimensional issues. You know, that would be the thing. We live in a world.
I think that it's important to simplify it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, you've done a great job. Yeah. And a lot of books, you know, I've been doing Temple of Health radio show for 17 years and interviewing an author a week, and you know, sometimes I'm like bogged down for chapters. And you say it in half a page. It's great. Well, let's go back and talk about the big picture. The big picture, which you touched on earlier, is that everything is vibration. And that because we don't, our perceptual reality is only those things that we can sense through our organs of perception. We may not be seeing the whole picture at any one time, but that if you understand that there are things outside your perception that exist that do impact your world, then you can understand you know, the vibrational healing and the spiritual aspect of what's in your book a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's really taking it back to the quantum physics aspect. And people go, "Oh, no, I don't understand quantum physics." And it's like, no, mm-hmm. just be very simple with it. You're just particles. And that's all you are. And you're dense particles, but you're not. And that's our illusion, is that we're solid. And if you mm-hmm. understand that it's just particles, and the disease process is the particles being shifted outside of the realm of your normal frequency of your body, it's a lot easier to understand that. Mm-hmm. That, and it doesn't seem so overwhelming to people, you know, when they're facing things, because even if they're facing death, it's just a shifting of particles. And mm-hmm. I don't mean just as in dismissive. It really is just that shifting of particles and going on to whatever the next sojourn is. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really understanding that the disease itself could be a soul process, but it's still particles. And you have a lot of control over what you do with those particles.
So in your experience, and this has also been my experience and the experience of many other people doing this work, we actually have kind of an agenda between lifetimes. We actually make contracts with people, the key people that we're going to interact with in life. That's probably what falling in love is it not? is that the identification of
I had more experience in that. I think it's the coming together of people and understanding mm-hmm. you learn with with every single experience, every single person
right.
you come in contact with. And good always comes out of bad. It doesn't matter what the situation was. There's good that always comes out of it. But I think falling in love is when people's vibrational matches and the predestiny. You know, I think that we're here to experience what we're here to experience. And you mm-hmm. really can't mess it up. And you really can't get it wrong. And if that true person comes in, you know, that you feel that instant chemistry with and mm-hmm. that physicality of love, for me, it's that frequency of two souls that were meant to come together. And, mm-hmm. You know, it's a beautiful experience for people. And it could be an experience that ends up being something that's really chaotic towards the end, because, again, it's all about what we're learning as souls, not so much as human beings. But I think it's important to distinguish that the soul is having this contract with all these different people, and our humanness wants to merge those two, and they're really not mergeable.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice when they merge, but I don't think they merge all the time. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I think it did. In your experience,
okay.
Do you feel that in the majority of cases, at least, do people have a death date, one that is fairly often? Occasionally, people die before their death date, and sometimes a few weeks after. But is the death date something that can be negotiated?
I think that there's 3 to 4 death dates throughout our
okay.
physical lifetime. And
mm-hmm.
I think what happens is because the soul is here to task, it's here to learn another aspect of its journey. And
mm-hmm.
I think that when you're coming up to one of those tentative time spans, that the soul and the divine spark, universe, source, creator, whatever you want to call it, kind of merge, come together. And source says, did you get your job done? And the soul says, no, I'm not quite done yet. It's like, okay,
mm-hmm.
go back to the body and move on to the next one.
Okay.
But the ultimate one, the last one, the fourth one, is set in stone. And I truly believe that souls accomplish exactly what they're meant to accomplish on that day. I kind of refer it to, you know, there's 10,000 plus ways to get from point A to point B, and it's your
mm-hmm.
choice as to how easy that path is going to be or how hard that path is going to be.
Right.
But you're going to be, ultimately, your soul is going to be where it needs to be on the day that you actually transition.
Mm-hmm.
But there are 3 or 4 checkout times throughout that time period. And if the soul gets done earlier, then the soul transfers, transitions earlier.
I can tell you that I've been, I may not be aware of all of them, but I was aware of a couple of the ones that I had in my life that were points that, anyway, that I knew I was staying because I, you know, I'm here for the ascension, so that's not happened yet. But
you're right.
There are certain points at which, and it's interesting because in your life, the feeling you have during those time frames is that everything's kind of free-floating and kind of out of space and time. It's a very weird feeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very weird feeling. And people expect it to be a trauma in your life, you know, a car accident.
Oh, no. Not always. No.
You know, and it's like, no, sometimes it's just mm-hmm. incredibly subtle, and you're aware that something, like you said, something, you're in this spatial space and time thing for a little bit, and you realize that discussion's taking place. Are you
mm-hmm.
done? Are you not done? Or go
right.
back? So people want it to be trauma. It's not, most of the time,
not,
I don't think it is trauma. Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes they have the near-death experience.
Well,
sometimes they have the
mm-hmm.
near-death experience during that time, and that they're
they
actually
do.
Sent back. Right.
Yeah, and I see that as actually taking place within the physical form. You know, when I look at the body, I see the heart center, and then behind that
mm-hmm.
I see the soul or the subtle energy field, and then the soul,
mm-hmm.
and then the tunnel. And it's everything you hate and fear about yourself. And what people tend to forget is that tunnel is just as important as your soul.
Mm-hmm.
It brings in the duality of you don't know how good you can be until you understand how bad you can be. And those play back and forth in our life the entire time. And then behind the tunnel is the spark. And that's ultimately where you want to go to. And so when people have the near-death experience and their soul floats up above their body and they say they're going through the tunnel, they've actually gone physically back into their physical form through that tunnel to the divine. So in my experience, it's not taking place on another reality or out in the universe. It's actually happening within the physical form itself.
Yeah, so God is truly within.
God is truly within. I think that we probably had this discussion years ago. I was always perplexed when people were bringing in universal energy, you know, through the crown. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, you know, they were being taught that and there's universal energy out there. But what I finally realized in my own understanding is, why are you doing that when you have the pure peace already inside of you? Why are you going external? Because it truly is within you.
Now, in your book, you talk about something that I really think is true, and that is when we die, it's kind of like I think you say it's like a fog bank, and we start to create within the fog bank based on our belief system. So if you truly believe that when you die you have to cross the river Styx, you really have to cross the river Styx. You know, it's like that will happen for you.
Very true.
So talk a little bit about that, because if we're really creative beings, the creation doesn't stop when we drop the physical body.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It's whatever that is, a great way of putting it. It's really that core belief that you have of what you're going to experience, if you're going to heaven or if you're going to the Crystal City or, you know, whatever it is that your core belief, those particles, again, we're back to quantum physics, those particles begin creating and manifesting into that belief system, and you're going to do what you have a belief that you're going to do. So that fog bank just kind of, the particles start creating, and you will see what you believe. And so I've been with so many people, you know, who when they die, perhaps Jesus creates and is there, and you can feel the energy of it, sometimes as loved ones. I sat with a young man who was an avowed Satanist, and his view of the biblical Satan appeared and just felt like ink all over my body as I sat with him. But Buddha and Abraham and Moses sometimes there's been birds there, you know, that people really didn't have a belief system and they loved birds and that was their core love and their core belief, and that's what was there. So it really just does manifest, I think, into what you believe is going to be there. And then you're kind of in that space until it's time for your soul to move on to the next sojourn.
Right. And then that begins the life review. You get to see what, you know, what you did, what you could have done, what you didn't do, the choices you made, the choices you didn't make, what would have happened. That's probably the most interesting thing is the life review. It's got to be fascinating.
I think that life review, the one thing I do disagree with a lot of people on, though, is, you know, when they're looking at that life review, they're like, well, we're going into this next lifetime because you didn't accomplish this. For me, that's pure judgment. I think you get the life review just kind of as a learning tool.
Right, I do too.
So that when you go into your next sojourn, but you're not being
punished. You might be a little smarter.
It might be a little smarter. Absolutely. Hopefully.
Well, I don't know if you ever watched The Sopranos, but when Tony's nephew had a near-death experience, he was being pulled down underneath, you know, by the demons. It was very scary. There was actually a woman who wrote a book on negative near-death experiences. So I think that would, you know, add this kind of information, especially the book, would add to the idea that it truly is your belief system. So now in life, it might be best not to fill your I guess your computer with really, really scary and fear-based images. Okay, that's the
so
thing
true.
That yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not saying don't go to a horror movie if you really enjoy it, but be careful, you know, be careful, because when you really get into something, because you are a creative being, you start to create in that vein. You know, if you
yeah.
really believe something, it will start manifesting in your life, and then it could even start manifesting in your afterlife, I'm trying to tell you.
I think that that's so true. I mean, people will say, okay, well, I'm a staunch Christian, but what if I'm afraid right as I start to die and I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell? I'm like, that's not what's going to happen. What your core belief system is
what's
going to happen.
Yeah.
And so you're right. I mean, if people live in a fear world, in a very negative mm-hmm. world, in a very violent world, and that becomes their belief that that's what the world is, then
mm-hmm.
then that's really the particles you're going to create, because that's the
yeah.
life you're living
yeah.
And experiencing every day. And it is important to get out of that space, I think.
I want to talk a little bit about mental illness. Mental illness is vastly misunderstood, I think, by the medical community.
Mm-hmm.
What you've had some experience, you have a section on it in your book with schizophrenia, with, you know, with obsessive compulsive, with addictions. Can you give a little bit of the spiritual perspective on mental illness? I think it'll clear up a lot of things for people.
There's, I think, two major aspects of mental illness, and depending on what we're looking at, autism. Even when I was with Millennium, there was a young boy who came in with autism, a 9-year-old. And as I looked at him, his soul was partially out of his body, and
mm-hmm.
he wasn't fully seated. The soul hadn't gotten fully inside the body. And it was just a matter of tapping his soul back in, because until the soul is fully seated, you don't have the neurological hookup. And
yeah,
so the neurological process is not working. And so once you get that back into the body, then the neurological system starts working and they can begin functioning. The
mm-hmm.
other thing about mental illness, schizophrenia, I think a lot of times it's individuals with a unique sight who can see the other side, but they don't have the comprehension ability to really explain
mm-hmm.
what they're looking at and the reality of what is. And so they're labeled schizophrenia, where actually they just really need to be taught about the difference between reality and what it is they're seeing, and helping them find voice to what it is that they're looking at. And that they can go ahead and begin seeing the difference, and understanding that during a hormonal shift, we all go through these different times when our hormone levels will start shifting. That's more likely when you're going to see signs of schizophrenia, because, again, the neurological system is going to change. I've been working with a little boy, an 11-year-old, who has been incredibly violent his entire life, and he has older brothers. And this 11-year-old is trying to kill his family constantly, grabbing knives, going after the other siblings and
yeah.
parents. And
mm-hmm.
So when I looked inside of him, he has four neurons, four ties that are not fully formed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started reworking the neurological netting there. And after getting the first two done, he substantially cut back on his violence, the intensity of the violence, the duration of the violence,
mm-hmm.
would still get upset once in a while, so I'm working with the other two now. But it's really understanding that there's so much taking place, not only on a soul level, but just, you know, in the neurological system. And again, he was someone else who wasn't fully seated within his
mm-hmm.
body with the soul. And that's paramount.
Were you ever able to observe him during one of his rages to see if perhaps he wasn't even in control of his body?
I was, and that's what made me realize it wasn't something external, like an entity attachment or something on that order, and that it was definitely misfiring within the neurons in his brain. But you certainly do have situations at times where you have an incarnate who is attaching and creating issues within the body, and you'll have that even if it's a loved one that you're sitting with, and they're getting ready to pass. If you keep saying, you know, you'll always be a part of me, I love you, you'll always be a part of me, that part of that, you know, part of that energy is going to come into you, and you may find yourself changing personality. And again, it's a simplified process of what color do I need to remove any energies that are in my body or attached to my body that are not mine.
You brought up hormonal shifts. Did you know that psychosis is so common after IVF that they now are having women prior to IVF see a psychiatrist?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
You know, the hormones,
it's very,
it's amazing.
Very easily. Yeah. I mean, it's very true. Postpartum depression, you know, the homicides and suicides with teenagers, and then all the problems after IVF, we really can say that hormonal shifts are associated with, you know, increased risk of psychosis. Very interesting.
It's huge, and I think it's something that doctors across the board in the mental health field don't really look at. You know, once your adrenals start shutting down, and you really, you know, you're losing your fight or flight because your adrenals are starting to shut down. The first thing it does is shut down your hormones, and then it shuts down your thyroid. And so a lot of people will go in for treatment for thyroid or treatment for hormones when it's really the adrenals. But when those hormones, and I was always really careful when I was pregnant with both of my sons and, you know, being 56 now, almost 57, and going through different hormonal changes, I'm always very careful to make sure that I'm grounded, that I'm aware of what's going on, and just really keep it in my mind, because I know if I'm going through a hormonal shift, the way that I see the world is different in and of itself, and I need to make sure that I'm staying grounded.
Yeah, I figured that out a couple of years ago with the hormonal, the importance of the hormonal. We also see it, by the way, sometimes after head trauma, which is interesting. And, of course, steroids, large steroids. Medrol dose packs can bring on suicide attempts or homicide rages. But anyway, it's just very interesting the things that open yourself up to that realm. And the people that are observing those people say that their eyes change. They're not there anymore. The person they know is not there anymore during these rages.
Their eyes will change, and also the energy coming out of the eyes. I mean, it's almost the same as when we're looking at someone with Alzheimer's and the soul has already cycled out of the body and the body's just basically in shutdown mode. I mean, we've got to remember, we've gotten so good at keeping people alive, and the soul has a schedule, and it may say,
so it's out of there.
I'm supposed to be out of here this year, you're keeping me alive, and so I'm popping out. And so you'll look and there's nobody home. But in those particularly violent rages, there'll be a different look from the eyes. Yeah, I totally agree.
Right. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about color works, how it works, how they can contact you, and if you like, you can you know, do a little demonstration on me, because I know you do a lot of telephone work. If you want to do a quick demonstration, that's fine too.
Oh, I'd love to. ColorWorks is really simple, and it's, as I said earlier, ColorWorks and ToneWorks as far as I'm concerned, are the only two active frequencies in the universe. Everything else is passive, and that doesn't mean it doesn't help. It just means that it doesn't get into the cellular structure itself. And in the book, there's actually directions on how to do color works. But it's really understanding of just bringing a color into your body, and that it will change quite a bit. And so, again, the book is God Within, The Day God's Train Stopped, and you can get it from any major bookstore or your local bookstore. And the website is pattyconklin.com, and Patty is with an I. But is there any one thing that you'd like to remove or bring in, Susan, that we could work with?
Well, I'm still dealing with some issues with the immune system because of the leakage of silicone, which is, of course, a toxin.
Right.
And but a thought occurred to me recently, and it may be that these immune issues have resurfaced because I have to shift significantly in my purpose and focus in life, and that may be what's up as well. So so we have two things. We have a chemical thing, and which may or may not be active, and then we have more of a something where I'm shifting what my life looks like on a day-to-day basis, and it's starting with my immune system. Because what did you say earlier about the immune system? You said something pertinent to that.
Well, that the immune system is our subtle energy field. And so anytime, and to me, the subtle energy field is what we came to this planet with. So whenever we're going through a massive shift, it's going to affect our immune system. And again, have self-worth issues, especially when we're transitioning into new aspects of life or changing our life up. It will affect the immune system. And you know, and not self-worth so much in a negative sense, but just who am I? And
exactly,
you know,
yeah, because right now I'm a surgeon, you know, operating three times a week, seeing patients, but I have a feeling, and this is, you know, a feeling that I'm about to shift into something totally different.
Yep, I think we're in identical places. I feel like I'm on hold, and
right.
I've been on hold for 2 months, and I'm sitting on a houseboat on Lake Alatoona and just moved in last night, and I'm like, I'm on hold. I don't know what I'm doing. So let's work with the security and who am I, because I don't feel like it's a definite chemical, and I think people, your listeners, will certainly identify with that. So if you just close your eyes and ask your body, what color do I need to increase my knowing of who am I by 75%? What's the first color that comes to mind that you see, that you feel, that you hear, that you can just trust it is there? So is there any one thing that comes up? So I want you to go ahead and breathe through your nose. And bring whatever color that is up through the bottom of your feet, straight up your body, and out through your mouth. Nice, slow, deep breaths. And the color may change 100 times in that one breath. You may see colors you've never seen before. But just go ahead and do that slowly. And exhale with parted lips out your mouth. Good. And just stay with that for a minute. And I'm going to just push some energy out there for you and your listeners.
Okay.
And remember, don't associate any color with emotion. We're simply looking for frequency right now. Nice, slow, deep breaths in through the nose, bringing the color in at the same time through the bottom of the feet, straight up and out your mouth. And then let everything go to white. And just imagine white seeping in through all the pores of your body, just healing and cleansing just washing anything out that's still stored in the immune system, any toxins, just washing it out with that white. And then ask your body what color you need to fully balance. It could be a rainbow, two or three colors, or just one. And just again, bring it in through your nose, bring the color in through the bottom of the feet, straight up your body, and this time right out through the top of your head. Just push it right out. And it's that simple. And typically, right, you'd want to do it for 5 to 8 minutes, you know, mm-hmm, just run the colors for 5 to 8 minutes, nothing long at all. Or if you're at work and you're finding yourself really frustrated or just, you know, not able to calm down, do a mini. What color do I need to calm down to focus?
Right.
And just go ahead and just do a couple of minutes of it. But always make sure you get up and walk around. There's times when you're going to start feeling nauseous or run a low-grade fever after even doing, mm-hmm, 8 minutes or 10 minutes of it, because your body's detoxing what you've asked it to do. So, mm-hmm, remember, you can bring things in or take things out. But color works is a process that anybody can do for anything that's going on in their life. You know, even helping, you know, get some of the chemicals out, the toxins out from an implant.
Right.
It's just work with it. Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you for that demonstration. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
We're coming up on the end of our hour. Do you have any inspirational messages for our listeners?
Oh, goodness. Inspiration. I'm looking at beautiful water right now saying inspiration. You know, I think the most important thing for people to remember is really pay attention to your perception of your life. And if you don't like your life, change your perception and your life will change. Be very cautious of the words that you speak. I mean, we all get frustrated at times and we all get angry at times.
Mm-hmm.
But the more that we can stop ourselves and look at, you know, what am I learning, or be the observer of the situation instead of involved within the situation, mm-hmm, the less likely our body is to store those conditional emotions that build up disease and create problems for us. So really pay attention to your perception and pay attention to your words, and there's good in everybody. You know, it's across the board. Sometimes you got to look for it, but there's always good in people. And so keep that in mind versus looking at the negatives of life.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, Patty. I'd also like to invite you to come to Noetic Science. You know, we have that here Thursdays, every Thursday other than December, once a month, Thursday. So take a look at your schedule and see if you can fit that in. We'd appreciate
it. I'd love to.
Great. Yeah,
wonderful. Wonderful. Thank
well,
you so
wonderful.
Much for having me on. It's great to
You're
hear your
welcome.
Voice.
Great.
Take care.
This is Dr.
Okay.
Susan Kolb. We've been interviewing Patty Conklin. Her book, God Within, The Day God's Train Stopped, highly recommended for anyone who has a physical body and is motoring through planet Earth right now. Next week, we are interviewing Hilary Jamin, Heuristic Trials, Surviving My Life After Death. And on the 9th, Joan Sciarro, Hardwired to Heaven, Download Your Divinity Through Your Heart and Create Your Deepest Desires. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.